Amen. Yeah. Well, I'm going to preach in the most, I guess, preaching to a unique audience, I hope. I say it this way, it may be a little crude. You got to have a little hair on your legs for what I'm going to say today, okay? This is for mature Christians. Now, I'd like to say, first of all, that I do believe that salvation is by faith alone, grace of God. I believe all that. But I think sometimes we leave a lot of people in an immature state. I'm not that way. I'm a pastor. I want to see people grow. I'm not an evangelist. I try to do the work of an evangelist, but I'm a pastor. My joy is to see babies grow, okay? To people grow and to be mature in the Lord. So some of the things I'm going to say today, I'm going to say them for the sake of challenging you, especially in the avenue of prayer. First of all, I just want to say God is mostly concerned about individuals rather than groups or organizations or even nations. Jesus didn't die for the United States of America. He died it for us as individuals. And our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, not the temple they're building up on the hill or anywhere else they might have, okay? That's not where God is. He's just not there. Our bodies become his holy habitation as individuals, and I think we really need to realize that. You need to realize that organizations, no matter how well-intended they may be, tend to deteriorate, even religious organizations. I know. I've been part of it. I've been around a long time. I've seen them deteriorate into all kinds of error. And so God's real church is made up of consecrated individuals. It's the mystical body of Christ. It's all around the world. And I've been many places, and I have found those beautiful, wonderful people that God, they're not a part of necessarily something that's a composite of a human organization, but they have Jesus. And they have that abiding presence. And you feel that bond. Even though sometimes you can't speak their language, you know they're one of yours. They're your brother. They're your sister. And so I just want to emphasize today that God is interested in individuals. He's interested in you and in your growth, that you may grow up into the perfect man, into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so today, I want to talk to you about an engaged heart. You see, when the Lord comes to you, he gives you a new heart. Amen? You're a new creature in Christ. You've got new desires. Everything is new. That heart is transformed. He took out the heart of stone. He put in a heart of flesh. And he makes you sensitive and impressionable to his spirit. Amen. And then not only that, but as you mature, you will engage yourself with the Lord and what he is doing. I like to think of it, Scott here is a great mechanic. I saw him putting a transmission in his car. I was amazed how Scott could get under that car and get back up and put that transmission in. And he did it. But Scott understands, and most of us, we men, understand that with engagement, we're talking like gears. One gear comes into play with another gear. Or I used to work in a sawmill when I was a young man for several years, and you couldn't have believed the pulley system. They get one power of source going, a big wheel going, and belts going, and belts over here, and they have it's a real science called ratio, gear ratios, pulley ratios, so forth. You could actually do the opposite thing with pulleys that one thing is doing. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with pulleys once they're engaged, okay? And I like to think that God is that great big wheel that's grinding slow and sure, right? And we're the little gears that need to connect and get engaged with what he is doing so we can be a part of that. And we can have movement upon us and movement beyond us. Isn't that what we want? To be effectual. And so I just want to challenge us today to be engaged. The Bible tells us this. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. My spirit and his spirit come together. And there's this engaging. And the more I become aware of that, that God is engaging me and I am engaging him, and that we are workers together with him, amen? And we're engaged. That gives me significance, that I'm not just some little wheel out here spinning by myself, or somebody that's just trying to make something happen on my own, because without him, I can do nothing. You know that. You've got to hook in to the power source. Amen. And so I didn't know how to, Jerry always asks, as we put this on the internet, what you entitle this message. I entitled it The Engaged Heart, but really, I want to talk more about the engaged tongue, okay? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? There's a revelation of who you really are by how you talk, how you greet people, your mannerisms, and so forth and so on. The Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I do believe that when God gives us a new heart, he gives us a new way to communicate, right? He really does. And he makes us effectual in this ability to communicate, not only with one another, but mostly with him. Okay? You see, all scriptures are God-breathed. We know that. God spoke and the worlds came into existence. And then the Bible says about our scriptures that we read as we read them, that holy men of God spoke, not wrote. Doesn't say holy men wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. First of all, they spoke. Some of them had scribes, or maybe afterward. I don't know how it all came about. It became a written source. But first of all, it was spoken. As the holy man of God spoke, as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And I think they knew that it was not them, and they knew that there was inspiration that God had given them. And so, and then it was written for our benefit, and aren't we glad for that? Amen. And the scripture did not come by the will of man, but by the moving of the Holy Spirit as men spoke. We have a living word with us today. And this living word only means anything to a living people, really. If you're not alive, the word, you know, the Bible can be the most boring book in the world if you're not engaged, right? But if you're engaged, oh, it's your bread, it's your life, it's the word. Praise God. And now here's the thing I want to emphasize with you today is God providing a word. God provides a word, okay? You remember Moses? Remember what Moses said? God said, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to bring your people back. He said, oh God, I'm a man of slow speech. I can't do this. I don't know how to talk. I've got a brother named Aaron. He's a good speaker. And I think Aaron could do it much better than I could. And but the Lord said to Moses, who made the mouth? You know, we have a wonderful gift, and that is the gift of communication. And we have so misused it. Man's most frequent sin is the words of his mouth. Think of all the cursing going on out there, all the fear, all the words that come out that are not edifying, they're not God exalting, they're just words. And sometimes I want to plug my ears to the media. I want to plug my ears to the words that just aren't doing anybody any good. They're negative, right? And so the Lord is seeking us to engage into a new way to communicate. Isaiah said, did he not? He said, Lord, when he saw that scene in the temple, he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I'm not qualified. You know the story, that the angel came and took a coal off the altar and placed it upon his lips and says, your lips have been purged. Now they're mine. I'm going to use you. And Isaiah wrote some of the most beautiful things. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 and all those great words. Isaiah 9 and 6 and all these. Boy, how the Lord touched his lips. And what I'm trying to say is the Lord can provide words. The Lord can take your tongue, which is the most unruly member of your body, Can I hear an amen? Amen. No man can tame the tongue, James chapter 3 says. It's an unruly evil. It's set on fire of hell. Yes. But the Lord can take that most unruly member and he can use it for his glory. He can provide. Even Jesus said to his disciples at one point, he said, now when you're called before magistrates and all that stuff, he said, don't try to figure out what you're going to say. Didn't he say that? For it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. You know, I wrestle with the same problem. I shared it with some of the gentlemen here in our New Start program. I didn't want to become a minister. My father was a minister. My brothers were ministers. I was the youngest. I said, God, I'm out of here. They're good. They're doing a good job. I can't do this. They don't even let me sing with them. I'm down. I mean, Lord, I'd rather sit, you know. And boy, one Sunday night, I mean to tell you, the Lord got a hold of me and he let me know that he made the tongue and that my music was nothing and that his word was everything. I said, oh God. Okay, God, if I do this, you're really going to have to help me because I can't last longer than 5 minutes. And you know better than that now, but that's the way it was. And I just want to thank God. He's been so faithful. He really has. Every week is a crisis for me. What do I say? Because it's no small thing to stand up in front of people. Because I certainly don't want to lead people astray. I don't want to preach some false thing that would bring about harm to eternal harm upon somebody. Somebody says doctors have their errors that are, you know, sometimes they're death. But preachers have their errors that are eternal. And that's scary. Really is. And so I just want to thank God for helping me. I'm not saying all my words have been inspired and so forth and so on. But I want to talk to you first of all about you communicating with God. The crisis we are in and continue to be in throughout history is due to the lack of prayer. Because we don't know how to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Did they not? Because they saw him praying like they didn't pray. They saw him spending hours in prayer. They saw him living and communicating to somebody. And we don't have that. I mean, we're religious. We know how to read the law. We know how to do the religious things. And, you know, and light the candle or whatever. We can do all that. But we don't know how to pray. And I want to talk to you today by the help of the Lord. Brother Jerry, if we could have that scripture, Zephaniah chapter 3. I want you to see this word was from Zephaniah chapter 3. And I want to read it to you, beginning from verse, you can follow along there on the screen, beginning with verse 9. Here's what Zephaniah said, some wonderful things. Listen to this. For then I will restore to the people a pure language. Are we there? We're getting there. Okay, we'll get there. All right, we got time. We got no place to go. Okay. But Zephaniah is talking to a people that are corrupt, people that have backslidden, people that have disappointed, disappointment to their God. But he speaks into the future. God always projects hope. And he says this, I'll go ahead and read it, and I guess you can see it if it comes up. For then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride. Wouldn't you like that? God deliver us from pride, especially religious pride. And you shall no longer be haughty. in my holy mountain. In other words, you won't come to God with arrogance, like, it's me, God, your favorite child. You know, none of that, okay? I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies. I don't think that's happened yet, huh? But God said it's going to happen. Nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in your mouth, their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Wow, what a prophecy. A pure language. A tongue that has been declared holy by God. Amen. An engaged heart is a heart in a tongue that is engaged in the Word of God. That's why we like to quote the Scripture so much. It's better than anything else I know to talk about. Amen. And it engages in edification of the body of Christ. It engages in the Word of God. And it engages itself in prayer and praise. That's the pure language. And God is able to give us that pure language to sanctify our tongue so that in one unison, without hypocrisy, without pride, we can pray and we can exalt Him. You know, I think there's people have a real problem with prayer. You just don't ask everybody to pray. Right? There was a time in my life you asked me to pray publicly, I'd go, pass. And there's many people that way that do not know what to say to God. They don't know how to address God. And the challenge today is, really, we are limited in our understanding and in our knowledge and in our approach. And we need help. You need help because you do need to pray. You do need to talk to God. There's 1,000 things to talk to God about. And you need to know how to address God and how to communicate not only in language but in spirit. Amen. This takes me on. The book of Romans says this, that we do not know how to pray as we ought. Anybody agree? But the Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered, making intercession for us according to the will of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. There's times when our language, our words, our vocabulary does not do it anymore. You understand what I'm saying? There's times when it's beyond me. The thing is too big. It's too overwhelming. And I'm talking about individuals now here. And I'm going to bring up the subject of the gift of tongues because I'm going to tell you something. We need all the weapons and all the gifts that God can give. And this is what we call, and you know I don't preach about tongues very much. I was raised in a Pentecostal home and I don't believe you have to speak in tongues to be saved. But I do know this, that tongues is a gift from God to enable you to pray beyond your capability to pray when you talk to God. There's times I don't know what to say. But there's times the Spirit will come up on me and something unintelligible comes out of me and I'm communicating. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I need to speak those mysteries. You do too. Because there's some mysteries about life. There's spiritual warfare going on out there that is too big for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's spiritual. You don't know what's knocking on the door of your mind, of your kids' minds and hearts. Some Christians even are surprised that their kids turn out weird. They didn't see it coming. And I'm telling you, you got to be engaged. You got to be ahead of this thing. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not talking about some incidental thing. I'm talking about Acts chapter 2. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we know those were languages that could be understood. Acts chapter 8, something happened that signified that they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, they spoke in tongues. The church of Corinth spoke in tongues. The church in Ephesus spoke in tongues. Paul himself, what would you say, as fluent as he was in languages, says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Did he not say it? But he said, in the church, I don't want to do that. In the church, I want to speak language that can be understood. I know that tongues can get out of hand and crazy, and I've been around enough to know that it has to be guided. In the church, it has to be guided. If there's tongues, you've got to have an interpretation so it can be. Those are some of the gifts of tongues, the gift of interpretation. God is able to give an interpretation to that which is not understandable. And I'm not here just to make that a big thing, a big issue here today, but I'm telling you, we are living in a time that's really, really strange. And we need to be talking to God like never, never before. We need to spend time in prayer. And sometimes people say, well, I said everything in 5 minutes. I prayed for grandma and all my cousins, and I couldn't think of anybody else to pray for. How about just waiting on the Lord? How about just spending more than 15 minutes, more than a half hour? How about investing? Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Didn't he say it? That's unthinkable. Oh, churches, no, let's get it over with. We got dinner on the table. We've got to go. And we're in a hurry. And we're hurting because of it. Here's a little lighter side. I remember Lyndon Johnson, when he was president, he asked one of his staff members who was a preacher's son, but he knew he was a preacher's son, but he wasn't really into spiritual things. He said, hey, you say the prayer over the state dinner. And the guy was a little overwhelmed, and so he looked around all these important people there, and he bowed his head. He started praying real, real soft. And, oh, thank you, Lord, for this. Lyndon Johnson was kind of a brash guy. He said, speak up, I can't hear you. He turned, he said, I'm not talking to you, Mr. Johnson. And there's a part of your prayer life where it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You know what I mean? I'm talking to God. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. The book of Jude says, pray in the Spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith. I just want to challenge you. I believe folks are saved. I'm not here to put an agenda on you, but I'm here to tell you, we are in special times. We need special prayer warriors that know how to pray and to let the Spirit pray through them and pray those intercessions that are according to the will of God. We need that. Yes, we do. I don't care if you say amen or not. I know it's true, okay? I know it's true. Amen. Amen. I was so touched. Monday, I was called up to Idaho Falls. You know, this church, God has enabled us to reach many gypsy people in the past. And so they know me because I've been a part of them. And one of the dear grandmas, great grandmas, had a granddaughter, 14 years old, that was having a spiritual struggle. It was going back into the darkness. This great-grandma is now a Christian, but she used to be a fortune teller. And she saw this fortune-telling spirit coming on her great-granddaughter. And she said, Pastor Yadin, I went with Brother Mike up at his church. They attend his church in Idaho Falls. Said, would you come up and pray with Cece? And I said, sure, I'll go pray with Cece. So I went up there, and there's great-grandma brought her. And Brother Mike and I, we exhorted the girl, 14, beautiful gypsy girl. And we did what we could. We prayed. Little old grandma now. Little grandma can't read anything. She can't write anything. And after we got done, all of a sudden, she broke into her gypsy tongue and started praying. And I'll tell you, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I mean to tell you, she carried the day. Grandma prayed like I couldn't pray, and Brother Mike couldn't pray. And there was something that reached heaven from that great grandma as she was praying in the Spirit. Yes, in a tongue, in her own tongue. I want to say, I know there's several here that speak Spanish. I think Spanish is the most beautiful language in the world. I'd love for somebody to eat. I took some Spanish, but I love it when people pray in Spanish. I do. It's beautiful. It seems like it's a little more anointed than English sometimes. And And it's a beautiful thing that God can use that tongue, that language. Sister Janie, I know you do that. I hear you pray and pray in Spanish, and I love it. And to use that tongue under the, it says, as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's a surrendered thing. It's not a made-up thing. I do speak in tongues, but I'm not going to stand here and speak in tongues. That would be mockery to the Spirit. But there is a time when the Spirit of God wells up and flows out. And there's a mystery about it. There's a dimension beyond our little two-before perspective. Let the movement be within you. Take time to engage with the provident power of God and be a part of it. Amen. And you know how you're going to engage? You're going to engage by disengaging. I'm afraid people know more about coronavirus than they know about the Bible. Even in the church. We are so media, hooked up with the media. We're so hooked up with the fear. Thank God I feel the spirit of faith here today. People standing up here and quoting scriptures and driving that fear away. Praise God. But we're going to have to disengage from some of this stuff. And we're going to have to give God some time. And we're going to have to attend prayer meetings. We're going to have prayer meetings. You know what I'm talking about? We can't just passively say, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. I wrote to one of my grandsons. He had a little book there. His graduation, I said, Garrett, I'm not leaving anything to chance for you. I'm calling your name in prayer regularly. And I want to say that about each and every one of you. These guys in New Start, I told them the other day, I mention their name every day in prayer. I do. And I'll continue to do that. Amen. And as God moves me, if he moves me to go beyond the dimensions of my own language and put me into that realm of the Spirit, to pray those prayers that only God hears and only God knows. So be it. Will you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Lord, show us your ways that we might walk with you. We're not just some independent entity out here flexing our muscles. But Lord, help us to be engaged. Give us words. Give us a pure language that we may praise you in a way that's acceptable. As the scripture said, to praise you in the beauty of holiness. Take our tongues, Lord. Touch them with your fire. Purify us. Take control of us, body, soul, and spirit. That we might truly be light and salt in this world. That we might be a force for the kingdom of God. I pray you would endow us with the Holy Spirit, with power from on high, to fight the good fight of faith in this critical hour in which we are living. Send your people forth today with an anointing, with a desire to find that closet of prayer, to talk to you like they've never talked to you before, and to love it. And to be, as it were, addicted to your presence. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.